Hello, I am Zane, and I am joined by a few others to discuss the book String Theory for Dummies by Andrew Zimmerman Jones.
Hi, I'm Connor.
Hi, I'm Sean.
Hi, I'm James.
Now, to start off, Sean, could you give us a brief synopsis of how Jones goes about explaining string theory to a common audience?
So, Andrew Zimmerman Jones begins by explaining some of the general concepts of string theory and what the foundations of them were, quantum mechanics and general relativity. And he strays away from demonstrating the very complex mathematical principles which a typical which you typically need a PhD in order to understand. And then he provides a lot of the varying perspectives on string theory and its opponents.
Now, Jones has to appeal, obviously, to people who do not know much about theoretical physics, given the name String Theory for Dummies. This is aimed very much at the layman audience. And one way that he does this is the first 150 pages of the book are just background information about scientific developments before string theory. So, James, I would like to get your opinion on whether or not this background was sufficient enough to have you understand the concept of string theory, or whether there was too much that did not need to be there.
I think it was really effective because it provided, obviously it provided the basis for string theory, so it explained general relativity and then quantum mechanics, and then it went into the standard model and the, sort of the theory of everything, which is what string theory is trying to explain, as well as quantum gravity.
Yes,
I can agree with James in that he did a very good job of explaining all the other concepts. However, I can actually just cut that part out where I started, however, so I'm going to keep going, even though I messed up. Sorry, guys. However, the one complaint that I do have about his previous introduction of all the other concepts, Sean touched on this a little bit earlier, and that there is no mathematics, and while most people will not understand the mathematics, and while they're definitely not required to explain and understand the general concepts that came before string theory, for someone who is interested in mathematics and the mathematical concepts, I would have preferred him to at least put a little side note on, like, saying, hey, if you were curious about the math involved in this theory, like the equations of general relativity, here it is, just in case you wanted to know, while it's definitely not required to be there. Like, for instance, in one chapter about time travel, which is later a part of string theory itself, he even put a sidebar that explained time travel in literature, so my question is, why couldn't he at least do that with mathematics, too?
I mean, you can very much tell that it's aimed at people who have no advanced experience in mathematics or physics in general, because the background information starts with the discoveries of Newton and Copernicus. So this is this is a 500-year history of science before you even start to learn about string theory itself.
Heck, it even goes so far as to talk about what science is. So it goes pretty deep.
The one thing I had to say about the background information is that sometimes I would have liked it explained a bit more. Like when it was talking about wave-particle duality, that's a very confusing concept, and I'm not sure that the author did a great job explaining that to a layman audience. Other than that, though, I thought the background information was very good as far as helping me comprehend string theory. So, can you cut the
yeah, I can always cut stuff out, so just start with two.
So another question I had for everyone was, is there any noticeable bias with the author? I mean, obviously the author likes string theory, or else he would not have wrote a whole book on it. However, he does take some time at the end to point out the flaws of string theory and introduce competitors, such as loop quantum gravity. So Sean, could you give us your opinion on whether the author effectively writes in an unbiased way?
Well, I definitely feel like the author presents an unbiased perspective. He begins by introducing a lot of background information about physics, which is very objective, and he then proceeds in providing lots of perspectives and noting the he talks about like whether string theory is falsifiable, and he notes all the perspectives and what the opponent's perspectives are. and whether some of the methods of string theory are even viable in the first place. So in no way whatsoever does he claim that string theory is like the only possible string theory or state any like strong opinions or anything.
James, could I get your opinion on this?
Yeah. He provides an entire chapter, chapter 18, which is about loop quantum gravity, as Sean was talking about. He uses an entire chapter to discuss a viable competitor to string theory. And then throughout the book, he gives criticism to it and possible reasons why it may not be correct. So I think he's definitely taking an unbiased approach and providing all the angles.
Yeah, such as a large dependence on the anthropic principle, which basically states that in order to trim down the number of possible solutions to the theory, they're only looking at ones that could possibly give rise to humans, because obviously humans exist, but some scientists are not so sure that that's the best scientific practice.
And what I really like about the book is he focuses the goal on discussing whether string theory or any of these other theories are actually going to end up being theories of everything. So in doing so, he questions everything about what string theory's assumptions and whether you can cut this out.
I can trim it. It's fine.
Oh, sorry, I forgot what I was gonna say.
So just cut out your entire speaking.
No, not the whole thing, but like.
Here, I'll see what.
Sorry, I'm still kind of jittery.
Are you gonna keep going or do we move on?
Someone's going.
Well, I was gonna build off one of your points because you were talking about a theory of everything, and that was gonna lead into my final question.
Okay, so he discusses a lot of different perspectives and questions the flaws about whether there's just one dimension of time, whether there are two dimensions of time, or whether the fact that string theory is typically a background-dependent theory and whether it will merge with loop quantum gravity as a background-independent theory.
You're using a lot of big words.
I don't even know what that means.
Okay. So...
what was the last thing that James said? Because you should probably be the...
I discussed...
You were doing fine before you forgot what you were going to say.
Yeah. So he was talking
about bias.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking about how he mentions criticisms throughout the book.
Should we go back to that point?
Can you go back and start reading?
I don't really have...
We don't need to pause.
Yeah, we don't need to pause.
Come on, keep the phone in my place, too. This is going to be so funny to record. Change.
Okay,
so I'm gonna just go start back and like to a part that we'll put in the podcast. So I can definitely agree with James and Sean's points. Throughout the entire book, he basically presented every point of view and every argument, every perspective upon string theory, like the many different types of string theories and variants, and the reasons why it may or may not be a correct theory. So I can definitely say that he was an unbiased and took a very objective position on this topic.
Building off of what Sean said about the theory of everything, string theory is definitely very ambitious. It seeks to unite gravity with the other three fundamental forces of nature, that those being the strong and weak nuclear force and electromagnetism, and also tries to explain the Big Bang, black holes, dark matter, dark energy. So it's very ambitious. And my final question is, do you think that it's true or valid?
I don't feel like it's going to end up being a complete theory of everything. It's already evolved from bosonic string theory all the way up to M theory now, and because it now includes brains, and no longer just strings. So I feel like it's going to keep evolving, and it may merge with loop quantum gravity and some other proponents, and who knows, it may even come up with new objects. It's hard to say, but I feel like we're always continuing to make progress, and eventually we may get there.
Connor.
So one thing about string theory is that we don't really have many ways to prove it, but we also don't have many ways to disprove it right now. Humans really cannot generate enough energy in one place to actually test the predictions made by string theory. It's all theoretical, that's why it's still a theory. That's why it's part of... Nah, I'm going to just cut that part out, that's stupid.
Yeah, sometimes you get a little off topic.
Yeah, I'm just talking over theory. So overall, there are many things that we thought we knew. There are many theories that people have had, like, a long time ago. Hey, guys, I am absolutely sure that the Earth is the center of the universe.
We really don't need that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're talking about the book.
We're gonna be over 5 minutes anyway. Like, even with all the stuff that we're definitely gonna cut out, we're gonna be over 5 minutes.
Okay,
alright, so I have just one quick thing that's gonna build off of what you... Just cut everything that you just said except for what can easily flow. Like,
here, can I finish the thought so I can have more material? So there's not many ways to prove or disprove string theory right now, but with how much information changes and how much we'll end up learning, I personally don't think that string theory itself will be directly correct, even though there may be lots of parts of it that may end up doing a little bit better of a job explaining the universe as we are able to test them in the future.
And we also haven't discovered any of the 7 extra spatial dimensions predicted by string theory.
So it's a little bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm. And finally, James.
What do you want me to discuss?
Same question.
Just supposed to...
Do you not want to answer that one? I'm sure we have enough already.
Well, yeah. I have an answer. I just forgot it.
If you can say it quickly.
Dang, I forgot what I was going to say. You said it earlier.
Something about it being replaced.
Oh, yeah. I think that...
Scaffolding.
Yeah, over time, string theory and M theory will eventually... it will change so much that it won't even be recognizable.
You guys are just repeating what you someone else already said. You can condense that way down.
Okay.
Alright.
Wait, you didn't...
Wait, don't. Just let it go. Just let it roll.
Alright, so we need a conclusion about, like... So we think the book... Like, we need to summarize what we just said.
Okay. Zane, do you want to do that whole conclusion? We'll say bye.
I don't know what to say.
So... Overall, the author presented a generally unbiased perspective, which I think is really necessary because you need to get an amalgam of perspectives in order to fully understand the evolution of string theory. And I think that the author did provide sufficient background information in discussing the theories that led up to string theory.
All that is recapping what we already said.
That's a conclusion.
That's
though.
Not really a good. That's not a. That's
okay,
not really a good conclusion.
So should we call them to read the book, or what?
Call to action.
Does it matter? What our
I mean, just re-
is?
Remember, Coach.
Anyway.
Okay.
Remember when Coach Hansen said last year that if your conclusion was just a recap of was just a summary of points that you already made, then it wasn't good.
Hey, Mr. Witt's class didn't have it.
Yeah, we didn't have it.
Oh.
So you have to end with something like meaningful.
Alright, so we'll just cut out Sean's conclusion for now and say...
So, who knows? The whole world could be made of vibrating strings.
Wow.
Can we check it?
As well as varying dimensions of brains.
That was
complete
awful.
Silence.
That was so bad.
Let's just not have an outro. I think that would be great.
I think that on the rubric it said that we had to.
Just have like a little bit of silence and say, well, bye.
Well, that's all we got.
So we just like end providing a couple of interesting perspectives that string theory may have on our reality.
I feel like it's going to be too long for that.
Yeah, we've already hit 13 minutes.
Well,
and
we can,
wait, the class is going to end in 2 minutes, so let's just like get this done right now. Wrap it up. Zane, I like what you're going with, like, the strings.
Right.
So is our world made of a bunch of little tiny vibrating strings and brains, whatever the heck those things... Nah, I shouldn't put that... So is our world really made of a bunch of little vibrating strings that exist in, like, a bunch of more dimensions than we have already seen?
Who knows? Read the book for yourself.
And take your own stance. Thank you for listening, and we are out. Bye.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye.